Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It's about 10 o'clock on Wednesday, March 9th. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Commissioners Randy Christman and Sherry Haugen-Huffert. So we have a quorum. Let's see here. I'll pass it to you, Randy, for any opening comments to get started.
Okay, two things. First of all, this new one, I believe, at 12:50, so that we can be done in time for our hearing this afternoon. I'm meeting with some Dickinson students. This will be the third time over a few years that Mr. Warner has arranged. One first time was virtual. Last time I was out in Dickinson. This time he's got them here. And it's about careers, and so I talk about some of the things within our agency and government and potential careers for these students. And I think I'm the big beneficiary out of every one of these, just the questions that some of the students have and such. But I wanted to just publicly commend Mr. Warner, who, I mean, talk about going the extra mile to make sure his students are informed about opportunities that they might not know about. You know, in their regular everyday lives. So, looking forward to that.
The extra 100 miles.
Yeah. the next part, I guess, probably qualifies more as a rant than comments. But I spent the last 2 days, a good part of the last 2 days, in SPP strategic planning. And my comments are not really reflective of anything that SPP is doing or planning, but more, you know, from some individual members. And it's frustrating to me that a lot of our discussion revolved around, you know, resolving issues that we seen come to light last February. And from a fair number of the members, it's like, that's acknowledged, but we're ready to move on from it and get back to talking about our carbon footprints and our social governance policies and stuff like that, and just move on, and we just got to go all renewables, and that's the end of it. And I look around this world, and I find it frightening and upsetting. You know, so much of the solution to the reliability of the renewables that they want to build out seems to revolve around, you know, much enhanced transmission system. And where do a lot of those components come from? Not America. There's a lot of components that I think only come from China. They keep talking all this discussion about relying on all these lithium-ion batteries that we're going to build out, and really highlighted, apparently there's kind of a premier battery facility in San Diego now. And I forget the number of megawatts. It was fairly impressive, in the upper hundreds, or maybe it was over 1,000. I don't remember. But for 1 hour, you know, that doesn't resolve any long-term issues when you narrow it down to such a short period. Plus, how much lithium do we produce? You know, the cobalt comes from Africa and China. If right now, between last February's event and what we're seeing happening in Ukraine, where you see a country that has relied on neighbors who are at best tough competitors, but at worst ultimate enemies, and yet we're not seeing that problem. And you know, for years our electric system has relied on our markets that only took price into consideration. Now more recently, especially through the lending, but also some of the utility governance structures, I guess along with price, we take into consideration their social governance and their environmental goals and such as that. But almost nothing about their resilience or about their supply chain quality. And like I say, I find it frightening and discouraging that so many people in the industry are not taking more seriously the lessons we ought to have learned last February and the lessons we ought to be learning from Europe right now. Again, if I didn't mention, not aimed at this commission, but I'm talking about regionally and nationally.
Sherry, any opening comments from you?
Yes, I do. Being the portfolio holder of Weights and Measures, I would like to acknowledge that program and what just happened this past week. We recognize National Weights and Measures Week, March 1st through the 7th. So I want to give a shout out to the program and just some education and awareness about that program. All forms of commerce are impacted by weights and measures. Everything from purchasing groceries at your local supermarket, buying gas for your car, selling grain at the elevator, and even receiving a package from your favorite online retailer. Weights and Measures works beyond the scenes to protect both buyers and sellers from malfunctioning weighing or measuring devices or unfair practices. Daily, state inspectors and registered service persons test and certify weighing and measuring devices for conformity to standards and verify accuracy. They ensure that not only the customer is being treated equally, but the business as well. In this time when inflation is on the rise and the cost of essential daily goods is rising, it is so critical to ensure there is equity in every transaction. As I indicated this past week, the Commission took time to recognize Weights and Measures Week, March 1st through the 7th, 2022, through a press release which commemorates President John Adams signing the first United States Weights and Measures Law on March 2nd, 1799, and wishes to extend their appreciation to our inspectors and staff who ensure the accuracy of all North Dakota's commercial weighing and measuring devices. You can read the complete press release on our website, and if you have any concerns regarding a device accuracy or the amount you were charged, we encourage you to contact the PSC. Thank you.
Excellent. Good job to you and Stacy on highlighting that important component of our work. It's one of those that probably has the most daily impact to all customers in North Dakota. I mean, the electric work obviously has a daily impact, but not all customers are served by regulated utilities, so I think everyone in North Dakota probably is impacted by commercial scales on an almost daily basis. So anyway, okay, I just wanted to highlight one area too before we get into the regular agenda, and it's kind of similar to what Randy was talking about, or along the same lines, I should say, and different spin. So we had this week our conversation with Governor on, it was called a strategic session. He started this process a couple years back to meet with agencies and talk about how they see things, what they see as their top priorities moving into the next budget cycle, what are their challenges, kind of to just talk and think more strategically long-term, and then how that might translate into priorities leading into the next budget cycle. We had a really good conversation, myself as chair, and then our leadership team, our directors, and our business ops and executive director and general counsel participated in this discussion with Governor and his team, and we had a really thorough vetting of some of the big issues facing the agency. And what Randy talked about came up a lot. And really, one of the major priorities for the commission as we move into this next budget cycle in the next, you know, number of years is maintaining the high reliability and low cost of our utility services that so many North Dakotans and our business community depend on. And this is becoming a growing challenge because of the things that Commissioner Crispin highlighted earlier. Largely, but it also then translates into pretty significantly increased demands for this agency if we're going to be doing it well. And I think just about every day somebody asks me, what are we doing to protect North Dakota's reliability and affordability? And the answer is that, you know, that's not something that just happens within our borders. We are part of an integrated system that, and we are somewhat dependent on actions from other states as well and other regional entities. So really there's three big areas where our work is growing. We need to work more closely with the utilities to as they transform their systems, and we have the tools to do that now with integrated resource planning, and we are starting that process. So that's one area that's underway. It has been underway for a good amount of time, but now we really have the tools to make that happen. The second big area is being deeply involved in SPP and MISO, and we have long done that within the existing staff that we have. I think it's going to be a subject of conversation amongst us and our staff this budget cycle is, do we need more resources to help cover all of that is happening in both of those RTOs, because they have such a significant impact on our utilities and on our ratepayers. And then the third is the growing influence of federal agencies. I mean, it is just undeniable that this administration and the federal agencies seek to have a very active role in advancing the agenda that they view as being essential. And they are willing to tempt and to overtake some of the state's roles in this area of work. And so specifically FERC, the Department of Energy, and I think we will see EPA coming out with a new, some type of clean power plan in the not too distant future that is going to have a significant impact again on our utilities. So in addition, these things, you know, we really don't have any dedicated resources in our staff to work with FERC or DOE or EPA. Not that we need a dedicated resource, but we do need to have that designated amongst our staff and make sure that we have the technical abilities and the time to cover that. And that is not a small task. It's not something that just you can pick up and start doing effectively, you know, tomorrow. It's trying to find your way or just around the FERC website is you know, a significant endeavor. So I think that those are areas where you I would say stay tuned, because this is in addition to all the other vital work, some of which Sherry just talked about with weights and measures. We've got rail, we've got AML, coal, mining reclamation, a lot of busy things. So it was a very good conversation to start the sort of the budget cycle. We'll be having a lot of conversations internally in the next coming months, especially after the governor releases his budget guidelines. And it's an exciting time, it's a challenging time, and I am looking forward to working with everyone on our team and OMB, et cetera, on that process. So that's it for my opening comments.
Can I just add one thought on that?
Absolutely.
One of the things that has been irritating me for a couple of days, but especially since late yesterday morning when the administration finally decided to cut off imports of oil from Russia, this discussion about, you know, our oil, and they're kind of blaming our oil and gas companies for not moving faster. Well, you know, just right here in North Dakota with our, you know, one of the premier oil and gas fields in the nation. So, yes, now by shutting off the imports from Russia, it has enhanced the demand. But if you're an oil developer, how quick do you want to rush out and put your resources into the ground out there, knowing that our primary mode of transportation is still being held up by the Corps of Engineers waiting for the study to ever get done? And so I have to think that that is causing delays in what could be a much quicker ramping up of production here.
And absolutely,
there's something the administration could do overnight.
And at the same time, that's being held up. Last week, FERC released significant new onerous guidelines on pipelines, natural gas, greenhouse gas rules. The pipeline companies, based on these rules that are very unclear, but took effect immediately. The companies have to estimate the impact not only of their gas upstream from where they're producing it and in their production process and in their transmission process through the pipeline. But they have to anticipate the impact of the greenhouse gas emissions from the users of that gas as part of the permitting process for a pipeline permit from FERC. So this is the kind of contradictory regulation and policy that this administration day in and day out is coming out with. And quite honestly, it's baffling to try to understand where they're going with this and what their ultimate goal is, other than to cause significant amounts of increased costs to Americans and threats to reliability. Those are the two outcomes that are assured of some of these policies.
Well, we go hat in hand to countries like Venezuela and Iran and China, begging them to help us through a tough spot.
And I'd love to know what the greenhouse gas emissions of their production are. It's really disturbing. Okay, with that, let's get on to the agenda of the day. Happier items. Alrighty. Let's see. Okay, we have a couple items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, moving into the regular agenda. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Courtney Wind Farm, LLC, 200.5 megawatt wind energy conversion facility, Stutzman siting application case number PU-13-64, and an NSP Courtney Wind transfer of site certificate siting application case number PU-15-174.
Second.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, so on September 10th, NSP requested an extension for completing installation of the aircraft detection lighting system on the Courtney Wind Farm that was permitted in November of 2013 and then transferred to NSP in August of 2015. On December 15th, the Commission denied this request of 2021. The Commission denied this request for an extension. And then on December 31st of 2021, NSP filed a status update with the Commission, which stated that the ADLS installation of the Courtney project was completed on December 17th, but 63 towers or tower beacon / lights were not responding to commands from its ADLS. So basically, they had the technology installed, but it wasn't functioning effectively. So on January 5th, advocacy staff of the commission sent NSP a notice of noncompliance, noting that NSP had violated the Century Code by failing to have a functioning ADLS system at the Courtney project by December 31st of 2021. On January 10th, NSP filed another status update with the commission indicating that all the beacons had been rewired and the system had been tested and the ADLS was fully operational as of January 9th of 2022. So our staff worked with the company and engaged in good faith settlement discussions, resulting in a consent agreement intended to avoid further administrative proceedings or litigation. Under the consent agreement, NSP agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $4,500 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission. This basically translates into $500 per day for the violation, and that is consistent with what was approved by the commission previously in our last round of some of the violations for ADLS, for the failure of companies to meet the previous deadline for the light mitigating technology. So I think this is a good agreement, and I'm prepared to support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all.
I didn't know that last part. That was going to be my question. Now I'm thinking if I have a further question. Was there any consideration given to whether this should be more in that this round had several years to prepare for this, as opposed to the previous round that had a lot shorter time from when they had gotten their site certificates to when the deadline was?
Well, as you know, we're not part of the negotiations, so I
good point, yeah.
I didn't have those conversations with advocacy. But I will say that in some respects, in probably a lot of respects, it's more complicated to retrofit than to bake it into your plans from day one. And so I feel that this is pretty fair to be looking at it consistently with the previous steps that the commission had. But, you know, in the other thing that I appreciated about this one is that NSP actually asked for an extension, didn't receive it, and buckled down and got the technology installed in time to meet the deadline. It just, you know, wasn't functioning properly. So I personally feel that the $500 per day is appropriate.
And we do know, we did learn from the last round, they do take some fine-tuning.
Yeah.
For a while. But the other thing I wanted to point out, and I, you know, apologize, I discovered this like very late yesterday, and I think it's just something that either doesn't need to be fixed or can be just fixed administratively, but the motion cites two different cases and case numbers from the original citing and then when there was a change in name on the site certificate, as does the order, but the actual consent agreement only is titled with the one of them.
Hmm.
So I don't know if this order should also, I assume, would also go into the file of the original Courtney Wind Farm LLC case too.
Sure. Good point. All right.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission adopt the order on tree and shrub mitigation specifications in Aurora Wind Project LLC, 345 KV transmission line, Williams and Montreal siting application, case number PU-18-351.
Second.
So this is another one of the projects that was, when the order was approved, even though the order was approved after we had provided revised tree and shrub mitigation specifications. I think that during the hearing and all of the process that followed that, the company had signed the original tree and shrub mitigation specifications. So those were incorporated into the original order. What we're doing today is we're amending that order to accommodate the company's desire to comply with the revised tree and shrub recommendations, which were passed on March 13th of 2019, that allows that in lieu of annual reporting for 3 years, one final report filed by the company after 2 years that details the company's tree and shrub mitigation efforts and describes how they achieved the purposes stated within that tree and shrub plan. That is going to be allowed, and that's the preferable approach from this company. So this order basically incorporates the new tree and shrub mitigation specifications into the order, and the company will still be dealing with the 299 tree and shrubs that were removed, coming up with a planting system to address those trees and shrubs and achieve a kind of worthwhile mitigation project with those new plantings.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. The next one is very similar. This one is for I got to read it. I move the commission adopt the order on tree and shrub mitigation specifications in Aurora Wind Project LLC, Aurora Wind Project Williams County siting application, case number PU-18-352.
Second.
Thank you, Sherry. All right. This one is very similar to the last one. This one was approved, let's see here, in May, May 7th of 2019. They removed 183 trees and shrubs which to be included in that order, the new tree and shrub mitigation specifications rather than the prior plans that were incorporated into this order. So this will update that order to allow them to do that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission suspend the tariff changes and issue notice of opportunity for hearing in Dakota Natural Gas LLC miscellaneous tariff revisions tariff case number PU-22-83.
Second.
So on February 18th of 2022, Dakota Natural Gas filed an application for revisions to its contract information, technical terms and abbreviations, general firm service rate, SCS1 and CS1, and general rules and regulations tariff to update contact information, update minimum, maximum customer uses for rates SCS1 and CS1, and to reduce the number of feet a service line that may be installed for a new customer with no contribution requirement from the new customer. The tariff revisions would not increase rates for any North Dakota customers. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether the proposed tariff changes are reasonable and whether they should be approved. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by April 22nd of 2022, and the commission can deem the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And my last item, I move the commission adopt the order requesting comment regarding the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and Public Service Commission Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act investigation case number PU-22-143.
Second.
So this is going to be an interesting new endeavor. On November 15th of last year, the President signed the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. We've all heard a lot about this. Among other things, the IIJA provides new funding for projects including generation, transmission, grid reliability and resilience, energy efficiency, and cybersecurity. And that is not an exhaustive list, but the Commission notes that the IIJA provides opportunities to participate and capture benefits of financing, contracts, grants, loans, public-private partnerships, cooperative agreements in the following areas: energy efficiency improvements and weatherization, alternative fueling infrastructure, build a better grid initiative and grid modernization, clean energy demonstration projects such as energy storage and carbon capture for CO2 emitting and coal generation facilities, preventing outages and enhancing the grid to ensure reliability and resilience, enhancing grid flexibility and deployment of smart grid investments, transmission development, energy improvements in rural and remote areas, improving reliability of transmission and distribution systems, optimizing systems to avoid costs of replacing and upgrading infrastructure, and providing ancillary services for grid stability and management, cybersecurity and protection of all critical infrastructure, and preservation of electric grid and natural gas operations. The Commission finds that it is in the public interest for North Dakota Gas and electric investor-owned public utilities to fully consider opportunities that the IIJA may provide to promote safe, reliable, and affordable service. I believe they are probably already looking closely at all of these areas and opportunities for them. What we're doing here is basically requesting that the gas and electric investor-owned utilities file with us written comments that kind of identify how they're looking at this and what their opportunities are that they see for financing, contracts, grants, loans, public-private partnerships, cooperative agreements, for entities with which coordination may be necessary to access funding opportunities, for current and anticipated coordination with state agencies to access some of these funding opportunities, and then to tell us which actions are appropriate for gas and public utilities to investor-owned gas and electric utilities to take to access available funding, financing, and opportunities. And then ways that the commission should consider ensuring receipt and deployment of funding and financing for the benefit of the state or ratepayers, and anything else that they think we should be aware of. So basically, we're reaching out to the utilities saying, tell us what you're looking at in terms of the IIJA, in terms of new opportunities. How can you take advantage of these? What kind of cooperative relationships might you need to engage in? How can we help? So we can have a full discussion with electric and gas utilities about these opportunities and make sure that North Dakota is taking full advantage of any opportunities that exist to benefit the ratepayers here. And this order requests that the utilities file their initial comments with us no later than April 15th. And then I would anticipate we'll have some public meetings with them after that, after we receive the comments and can to sit down and discuss these things with them.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just say I really appreciate you bringing this forward. I think this is something that's really important for us to do.
And all the hats off to Jack for getting it all together and digging into that massive bill with $1.3 trillion available for investments in this country. It's going to be all hands on deck, not just our agency, but all state agencies, to try to maximize the benefits of that funding source, make sure it's put to good use.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Finally, that's the end of my portfolio. Mr. Chrisman.
I have just two, but the first one will take a few moments to explain. I move the commission approve bond release number 1 for surface coal mining permit number NACT-9001 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 811.8 acres of land located in portions of sections 1 and 2, Township 145 North, Range 88 West, Mercer County, effective April 11th, 2022, unless a formal hearing is requested, in Coteau Properties Company, Bond Release 1, Permit NACT-9001, Application Case Number RC-20-156.
Second.
So on March 25th of 2020, Coteau filed final bond release number 1 to this permit, requesting the release of, as I said, about 812 acres of land that is located in portions of two sections at the Freedom Mine north of Beulah. I think most of us have been out there, and as you recall, you come around the curve and there's the gasification plant that's kind of tan in color, and north of that is the Blue Antelope Valley Station, and north of that is the mine headquarters. This land would be about another mile north of the mine headquarters, and then going each direction from straight north of mine headquarters. The land is owned by Coteau, and not leased, and consists primarily of reclaimed native grassland that includes 4 stock ponds, a reclaimed county road, a seasonal wetland, and some land that was not affected by mining. Portions of these sections were initially affected by mining in 1991, so 30 years ago, and the coal removal was completed from 92 through 98. Backfilling and grading were completed from 94 to 2000, and soil respreading activities and the initial seedings were completed from 1995 through 2014. And portions of these tracks were affected by long-term primary and ancillary haul roads, and that has been a big holdup in release. There are also some soil stockpiles and sediment ponds, and those things weren't reclaimed until like the 2011 to 2014 time range. On September 4th of 2019, our Reclamation Division granted Coteau a variance from the 10-year revegetation responsibility period for areas reclaimed in 2011 to 2014. So that variance from the 10-year responsibility period allows the pursuit of final bond release of this whole 812-acre piece actually 2 years earlier than would otherwise have been allowed. There's a county, Mercer County Road 15 was claimed on a portion of the south side of these two sections, and a statutory section line was reclaimed between sections 1 and section 2. And there, both those roads are currently open for public use. The Mercer County Road Superintendent inspected County Road 15 and has provided concurrence that the roads are in satisfactory condition. Coteau planted about 5 acres of trees and shrubs in the native grassland in this area for wildlife enhancement purposes. Those trees and shrubs are considered conservation planting. Mining companies also must demonstrate that reclaimed native grasslands yield well the native grassland species diversity and seasonality standards. That's kind of a mouthful. Require that at least 5 native grass species be present and at least 3 native forbs species be present. And after a previous release like this, someone asked me what forbs were. And two of the examples that I'm most familiar with and see around the most, I think most of us are familiar with the purple coneflowers and then milkweed that are so important to the bee population in North Dakota. Those are examples of native forbs. I mentioned the seasonal wetland that they reclaimed in this area. There are also 4 stock ponds that they constructed, and 4 southwest water pasture taps as water resources for livestock on this 800 plus acre tract. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on September 9th of 2020. So again, it's a year and a half, not a half a year. Reclamation Division and Coteau staff participated in the bond release inspection, as did 2 representatives from the NRCS Dickinson office, the Mercer County Commissioners, the Mercer County Road Superintendent, the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, OSM, and the Mercer County NRCS were invited to participate, but declined the offer. OSM has reviewed this bond release application, and they did their own inspection on the reclaimed lands in September of 2020, along with our reclamation staff. OSM subsequently sent a letter concurring with our recommendation of final bond release approval. And I want to point out that this application contains approximately 276 acres of federal coal, and that's why OSM's relation in there. A notice of the bond release application was published in the official county newspaper, which is the Beulah Beacon, weekly from September 3rd through September 24th of 2020. No objections to the bond release application were received. Coteau is not requesting any reduction in their bond amount. This area is part of a consolidated bond area at Freedom Mine, so it just continues on as it was. If approved, the bond release will become effective April 11th, unless a formal hearing is requested. So that's the timeline for that request. Coteau has demonstrated that the reclaimed lands have met all applicable final bond release performance standards, and the Reclamation Division recommends approval of this bond release application, as do I. And just for reference, that total bond on the Coteau mine overall is $186 million.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Torch Wireless designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-22-84.
Second.
On February 22nd, Torch Wireless filed an application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income customers. That designation is also known as lifeline-only ETC status, so you might hear that term. Torch proposes to provide these services using the facilities of other carriers, not constructing their own. The issues to be considered in this matter are three. Number one, is the applicant qualified for designation as an ETC? And the second one is, what ETC universal service support area should be designated if we do designate any area? And the last is whether the designation of the applicant as an ETC is in the public interest. So those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. If anybody desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by April 22nd. And if deemed appropriate, I want to point out the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
My portfolio is completed.
Excellent. And before you, we pass it over to Commissioner Haugen-Huffert, I did want to backtrack just a minute to say kudos to the reclamation team on the successful bond release. That's kind of like the completion of the work, and it's a big deal to have bond release, and it's you know, doesn't happen all that often, so 800 acres is great. It's job well done. It's fun to go out there and see those lands and see how almost indistinguishable they are from the nearby unmined land. So you guys all should be very proud of your accomplishment there and celebrate a little today. Have an extra cup of coffee. I don't have donuts or anything to offer.
That is a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Because I'm guessing that most people, if they were taken out there and driven around this 800-acre tract, would have a hard time distinguishing that acreage that was never disturbed.
Right.
Okay. Good job.
Commissioner Haugen-Huffert, you're up.
Okay. I move the commission approve the proposed surety bond filed on February 28th, 2022 in Totoka Wind Power LLC, Totoka Wind Farm, Dickey County, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-73.
Second.
On December 29th, 2021, the commission approved a revised decommissioning plan and cost estimate for the Wind Power LLC Totoka. It consists of 61 1.5 megawatt turbines in North Dakota with a nameplate capacity of 91.5 megawatts. The approved decommissioning plan relies on the failing approach to decommissioning with a cost estimate of almost $9.5 million or approximately $155 per turbine without subtracting the salvage proceeds. On February 28th, 2022, Totoka filed its proposal to issue a surety bond with the commission for a full amount of the cost estimate. They proposed to issue the bond using Uther, North American Insurance Company, as a surety bond, which is wholly authorized. The terms of the bond is 18 years, thereby implying a facility useful life of approximately 30 years, with the bond outstanding for an additional 2 years to complete the decommissioning.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So I will say I support acceptance of this surety bond based on the results of the December, 29th vote. But I still continue to have very serious concerns about that felling, use of the felling method, and then with the estimates based on that, what we were left with for a surety value. And so with as time goes and things and circumstances change, I just want to point this out today. I'm not convinced that the felling method should be our long-term, something that we accept long-term on multiple wind farms if if more apply. So pointed out, I approve this because of the result of that, not in agreement with the result of that vote.
And I think this points out one of the advantages of that last, of the approved plan in December of 29th, is that they have a surety bond attached to it, which is unlike any other of the decommissioning plan and cost estimates. The surety bond is something that will be readily available and easier to access and more liquid than the other forms of collateral that we've received for decommissioning on wind farms. So that's an advantage of this one, and I am also prepared to support it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Fuel Cost Adjustment Hoot Lake Solar Project Tariff Case Number PU-21-443.
Second.
On December 1st, 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for revision to its energy adjustment rider tariff to include recovery of an alternate or proxy price for the energy to be generated from the Hoot Lake Solar Facility. The tariff revision would not result in an increase or decrease in rates to North Dakota customers. On December 15th, 2021, the North Dakota Public Service Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing providing until January 31st, 2022 for receiving written comments or requests for hearing. No response or request for the hearing was received. The notice identified the following issues to be considered: whether the proposed tariff changes are reasonable, and the second, whether the tariff changes should be approved. On February 23, 2022, the Commission discussed these matters with Otter Tail Power Company and Commission staff during an informal hearing. During the December 23, 2022 informal hearing, the following were offered and accepted into the official record. Otter Tail Power Company proposes to replace the megawatt hours produced by the Hoot Lake Solar Facility in the calculation of its energy adjustment rider with an equal amount of energy priced at the corresponding hourly location marginal price at the Hoot Lake 2 node. This change would remove the impact of the Hoot Lake Solar Facility from North Dakota customers, as it did not exist. Based on the record and receiving no objection, the Commission finds Otter Tail Power proposed tariff revision is reasonable and prudent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Thank you, Sherry. All righty. So we'll go to announcements here, and then we'll take a little bit of a recess. Okay. So later on this afternoon, we have a formal hearing on the Pipeline Safety and Surface Coal Mining Reclamation Operations Rulemakings. That's at 1:30. On tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we have our quarterly meeting with the Lignite Energy Council. And next Tuesday, we have an informal hearing on some siting application issues for the Endeavor Field Services 8-inch and 6-inch NGL pipelines. That's not a hearing. It's not a siting hearing. It's a hearing on some changes, I think, for that permit that have been requested. And then looking ahead down the road, we have a formal hearing April 5th for the MDU 12-inch water pipeline in Morton County. And April 6th, the Caliber 2.6-mile natural gas pipeline. Oh, we have back-to-back hearings. I didn't notice that when we scheduled them.
It's like good times.
Yeah, exactly, in McKenzie County. So Fifth is Morton County Water Pipeline. The sixth is McKinsey County Natural Gas Pipeline. And then, that's probably as far ahead as we need to look. So that's what's on the agenda. Alrighty, we'll take a brief recess and then